The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon has the day off, so here I am to save the day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Save the day? Now I'm working with Mighty Mouse? You're too young to know the Mighty Mouse cartoons, but he would fly in and sing Here I Am to Save the Day. Do you know who Mighty Mouse is? Not Mickey Mouse.
I do.
Because Mickey Mouse pays our salaries, but Mighty Mouse.
I do know it because I was nicknamed that in college for a time, which I still regret deeply.
You were Mighty Mouse in college?
It's a long story. Ooh. It involves being very, very not sober, but probably not the best time to tell that right now.
Oh, well, let me segue into something else then. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon is on assignment, legitimately for once, so I'm pleased to be joined by our great friend from the ESPN Daily Podcast, my grandson, Mr. Pablo Torre. Yeah, didn't anybody yell out Mighty Mouse? And we begin today with a tweet from Diana Rossini of ESPN that the Seattle Seahawks are not shopping Russell Wilson, but they are answering phone calls from other NFL teams who inquire about him. This is in contrast to the Houston Texans, who continue to insist that their unhappy quarterback, Deshaun Watson, is unavailable. Pablo, what do you make of this?
I make of this that this is a bad relationship, Tony, and nobody wants to be on the hook as the person who ends it. Because if you end it, you're the bad guy. And if you end it and you take Russell Wilson away from the Seahawks become worse. And so you have all of this posturing that is so transparently tortured and stilted. Russell Wilson is saying, I'm not demanding a trade, but by the way, here are four specific teams, the Cowboys, yeah, the Saints, the Bears, the Raiders, that I would like to go to. And now here we have Pete Carroll and the Seahawks apparently saying, look, we don't want to trade this guy, but if you're going to ask us for him, we will definitely give you the time of day, which tells me they don't want to be with each other much longer. They just don't really want to admit it.
Yeah, so I'm going to apologize for the raspy quality of my voice today, tomorrow, and into the near future. And then I'm going to say that I sat in this very chair, in this very attic, last week when the news came out that Russell Wilson's agent had said, oh, we don't want to leave Seattle, but here are the four teams we would go to. And I sat here and I said, that's it. It's over. Russell Wilson is leaving. And now, by Seattle doing this, that just says Seattle is smart enough to understand Russell Wilson is leaving. So before the pot gets diluted with the Deshaun Watson offer, let's us get everything that we can. So I think now it behooves us to look at those four teams. Let's start, for example, with New Orleans. New Orleans needs to move on from Drew Brees. I think they're going to be major players in this. I don't know about Vegas, because I think that I saw Mike Mayock last night, the GM, say that he and John Gruden stand shoulder to shoulder, that Derek Carr is really good. So maybe they're not in this. The other team that's really should be in this, of course, with a quarterback of its own to trade, is Dallas. You can make that deal right now, and I think it benefits Dallas, I think. And then there's Chicago, who may get involved, Pablo, because Chicago so desperately wants a real live quarterback.
But what's so strange about this is that Russell Wilson wants freedom. He wants freedom to cook. He was given cooking privileges. Now Pete Carroll is kicking him out of the kitchen. But those teams you mentioned, Tony, especially the Raiders, what's so strange to me is you don't go to the Raiders and play for John Gruden and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you, Mr. President, with a $100 million contract, how I'm going to do this thing. I don't think that happens that way.
Let me just add one thing, though. No, you're probably right about that. But if you were married to someone who was a singer and could go to Las Vegas and play those nightclubs, that might influence your choice of cities.
a residency in Vegas would be enticing. But we do have other quarterback news I want to run by you, Tony, because as expected, the Steelers agreed to this one-year deal with Ben Roethlisberger. But the bigger thing to me is here in New York, where Jets general manager Joe Douglas said he thinks Sam Darnold is a dynamic player and unbelievable talent, but also, quote, if calls are made, I will answer them, end quote. So, Tony, how should Sam Darnold feel about Joe Douglas' endorsement here?
So I saw that clip, and I assume it was actually Joe Douglas and not someone pretending to be Joe Douglas. And what I saw, similar to what you saw, was somebody cruising down the road praising his quarterback, saying how good this quarterback was. And then almost with a shrug as an afterthought, he said, but I'll listen if you call. I didn't get the sense that he was shopping Sam Darnold because he didn't say this, Jared Goff is our quarterback today. He didn't say that. But if I were Sam Darnold, how I would feel is terrible because all I would have heard is, if you call, we'll listen. That's all I would have heard.
Yeah, it feels like damning somebody with increasingly faint praise. And the increasingly part, Tony, comes in comparison to last year where Joe Douglas was saying, do not call us about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is our franchise quarterback. So if you were to inject Joe Douglas with some truth serum, I think he would admit to you, look, we really have a lot of problems in this organization. We don't really know how much of those problems were Adam Gase and how much of those problems were Sam Darnold or our lack of receivers. So all I can do for you is be very open-minded about not having the answer right now, but we do have this number two pick in this draft. And part of me, me being Joe Douglas, says, I probably want to start over, except I kind of also want to maximize the value of the quarterback that I have right now.
So I get all that. If you look at Sam Darnold's numbers, they're terrible. He was the 35th rated quarterback this past year, and only 35 were rated. He was 2-10 as a starter this past season. In however many seasons, parts of three seasons that he's been there, he's 13-25. He had 9 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Joe Namath can get away with that. Sam Darnold cannot. So you need to tell me, because you watch them all the time, when you look at him, what do you see that is so good that you want to stand shoulder to shoulder with him?
No, I don't want Sam Darnold, Tony, even if Adam Gase and no receivers was unfair of a situation to put him in. What I really want is Deshaun Watson. That's the answer here. Package everything I can get for Deshaun Watson, but right now you got to lie to people and say, I really like this quarterback that I inherited that unfortunately is our franchise guy until he's not.
I'm just going to go to this. There were 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round in his year. One of them, Josh Rosen, is basically out of the league. But the other 3, I think, are Allen in Buffalo and Mayfield in Cleveland and Jackson in Baltimore. So
yeah.
Sam Darnold is a distant fourth. A distant fourth.
Distant.
We move on. I'm an English major. I'm not good at spatial relations. So this story is confusing to me. The Baltimore Ravens are proposing a new rule for overtime. The winner of the coin toss can decide where the ball will be spotted to start the overtime. And then the other team will decide whether to start on offense or defense. Pablo, you went to Harvard. I'm so jealous. Can you explain this to me?
I think I can in terms you might understand, Tony. Let's pretend we're at Chatter, okay? We're sitting at a booth at Chatter, and I want to order the Chatter burger, but I want to share it with you. And so what do? I say, Tony, let's be fair. I'm going to cut the burger, but you're going to choose which portion you want, right? Even and just, and both of us have agency in the decision making. What they're saying here is very similar to that. They say, okay, 2 teams, overtime, flip a coin. Whoever wins the coin flip is going to choose where to put the ball on the field. The other team is going to choose which portion. Do I want to be offense or defense? And what this does, of course, is give us lots of people to blame that we couldn't before, right? Before you get to overtime, okay, the coin decides so much of it. Now, if you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you got to figure out how do I try and entice the Chiefs into playing defense or offense, in which case, on Monday morning, all of us get to yell at whoever made the call.
Boy, I'm so sorry my restaurant went out of business because I would have loved to share that burger with you. Patrick Mahomes is the exception to the rule. You can put him on the 1-yard line and Kansas City will play offense and assume he's going to go down the field. What I would like to know is this. First of all, with this new rule and with the strategies involved, I'd love it if we were talking about sudden death again. because then you might be prone to take defense if the ball was, say, on the 10-yard line. And if you stop them, you'd get it at midfield and one first down, and you can win the game. What I'd like to know is somebody explain to me, what is the number at which a team says, okay, I will play defense? Is it the 20? Is it the 15? Is it the 10? When that is explained to me by the guys that hold the pieces of paper in plastic and run along the sidelines to make these decisions, then I'll understand it, because I think, I know it's gimmicky, but you know what else is gimmicky? Starting a guy on second base in the 10th inning, and I love that. So I think I could learn to love this.
Yeah, I did not expect you to be down for the runner on second or for this, to be honest, but the answer to your mathematical query, right? Like, where does the ball go such that it feels even? Right now, it's somewhere between, like, I believe the 13-yard line right now. There is math. I just, unfortunately, didn't major in math. And so I would be completely lying if I said I could explain how that works to you, which I cannot.
Before we get out, I just wanted to add this one thing. What I like most about it is it gives Matt LaFleur an opportunity to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand again and play defense and break his heart. Let's take a break. But coming up, the Sixers won and the Jazz whined. Which was the bigger deal?
And Shaq went through a table last night, but did Baker Mayfield provide an even better storyline? Toss-up is next.
Was that the real Shaq, or was that like somebody... Two people.
You think,
like,
you think Stanley Roberts, Tony came back for this?
Well, I just don't know if Shaq would put himself through that. I just assumed it was fake.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for Toss Up. Two men enter. Well, actually, one man enters, and so does a kid named Pablo. What's first?
Toss Up. Who spoke more loudly last night, the Jazz or the Sixers?
Okay, well, the Sixers won the game, so that speaks more loudly. They won the game. The Jazz won the whining contest. Donovan Mitchell, after the game, first saying, I never blame the referees. You know me, I don't blame the referees. Then blamed the referees and said the referees took the game away from him. He was then joined, figuratively, because they weren't together, by his teammate Rudy Gobert, who actually said he believed that the referees don't like Utah because they're from a small market. This is amazing to me. Cleveland is a small market. It never seemed to hurt LeBron. San Antonio is a small market, five rings. Yes. It's hard for me to believe that the referees get together and they say, who are we going to take this out on tonight? And they look at population and census information. I don't think they do that. So the Sixers spoke more loudly. I want you to talk, but I am also told you're a big fan personally of Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And this is amazing to me. Because to me, Joel Embiid is just a yappy narcissist, and he's Ajahn Provocateur, and he always goes, yeah, come on, clap for me. So go ahead. Wilbon loves him, too. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I am not just a fan, Tony, I am, some would say, people are saying, the originator of his nickname, The Process. I was, unfortunately and fortunately, the lone voice in the wilderness telling people, hey man, The Process, this whole strategy Sam Hinkie has, it's gonna pay off, it's gonna work. So I watch a game like this, Tony, and I think to myself, my large adult son, Joel Embiid, had 40-19 and a step back three in overtime to win the game.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the game, he got that three. So to me, what he's doing, you're a Harden for MVP guy, I know that. Embiid, he plays defense, he's 50-40-90, thereabouts, and could do all of these things. Give him the credit he deserves. Give my son the credit he deserves.
Maybe I'm totally wrong on this. I'm listening to you and to Mike, loves him too. Next.
Toss up better story from last night. Shaq going through a table while wrestling, or Baker Mayfield possibly seeing a UFO?
Okay, so everybody loves Shaq, and they love him on all his commercials, and he does this wrestling thing where he falls through a table, and then he's led out to an ambulance, and he disappears from the ambulance, and it's wrestling. It's all fake. It's just fake. I'm paying no attention to it. The other story is Baker Mayfield says he thinks he saw a UFO. Ding, 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 ding. A UFO. He's driving with his wife. They're somewhere near Austin, and they see large things of light falling from the sky. So unless he's promoting that new show, Debris, he actually thinks he saw a UFO, and that makes him more interesting every single day and leads me to wonder, would aliens elevate him, take him out of here, in which case they've got to trade for Sam Darnold right now.
Yeah, I think the aliens might have concern about hand size, I believe, is their issue with him and his combine numbers. But Tony, I have questions for you because I wasn't around when Orson Welles read War of the Worlds on the radio and fooled America into thinking aliens were invading. But I do know
I was in high school. I was in high school.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I do know, Tony, that right now we're getting articles in the New York Times, in the paper of record, where they're interviewing Navy pilots and they're providing video from their cockpit radars and they're saying, we don't know what this object is. In fact, this object, by the textbook definition, is a UFO. I didn't dream of aliens arriving to Earth via a slow rollout in the newspaper. But Baker Mayfield seems to be onto something.
Look, UFOs, Shaq could go through 10 tables. It's not as good as a quarterback saying, I just saw a UFO. Anybody with me? It's amazing. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, did Alexander Ovechkin receive appropriate punishment for his stick trick?
And will Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State take out Baylor tonight? Stay tuned for my ill-informed guess.
Yeah, UFOs, big deal. It's a big deal. No.
I was told that
have
we would stop
one?
Everything. I think I have.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 23rd birthday, Obi Toppin. Toppin was College Player of the Year in 2020, averaging 20 points a game and leading the Dayton Flyers to a 29-2 record and the number three ranking. But because coronavirus shut down the college season, neither Toppin nor Dayton got the national showcase the NCAA tournament brings. Toppin was drafted number 8 overall by the New York Knicks, which made him cry with joy because he was born in Brooklyn and lived there until he moved to Florida for high school. So far, though, the movie script is not playing out. Toppin is only getting 12 minutes a game from new coach Tom Thibodeau, and he's averaging just 4.6 points and 2.4 rebounds. One NBA scout says he looks overwhelmed. Toppin is expected to perform at the dunk contest at the All-Star game. He was a tremendous dunker at Dayton.
My favorite thing about the Knicks right now, Tony, is that it's not a movie script at all. They're 18-18, but that is not stopping anybody from hanging banners because the Knicks right now are technically not losers headed into the All-Star break unless they lose to the Pistons tonight.
I'm happy for them. I mean, I grew up when they were great. It's been a long time, obviously.
Look at me.
A not-so-happy anniversary, Tyler Hansbrough. On this day 14 years ago, Duke's Gerald Henderson flagrantly elbowed Carolina's Hansbrough in the final seconds of a UNC win and broke Hansbrough's nose. The sight of Hansbrough's intensity as he got up instantly became one of the indelible images in the long history of the UNC-Duke rivalry. There is Hansbrough, his face a bloody mess, glaring at Henderson, ready to go back out there. This is how he got the nickname Psycho T. Hansbrough and Henderson actually did the Tobacco Road podcast and talked about the incident a few years back. Hansbrough said that while helping out at Roy Williams' summer camps, kids would ask him, did it hurt? And Hansbrough said, I'm like, were you even alive when this happened? This reminds me to say that Carolina and Duke are playing on Saturday. Neither team is any good, but there is a certain magic anyway.
Tony, I would be so mad if I was Tyler Hansbrough and I got elbowed in the face and I'm the psycho. Why isn't it Psycho G? Why am I the psychopath for having my nose broken?
No, you're not. You're Mighty Mouse. Happy trails to $5,000 for Alex Ovechkin. The Great Eight was fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the collective bargaining agreement in hockey, for spearing Boston's Trent Frederick last night in the Caps 2-1 shootout win. Frederick, who leads the Bruins in penalty minutes, was in Ovechkin's jersey all night. At one point, he checked him into the boards. Ovi got up, threw a little swing at him. Frederick dropped his gloves to fight, but Ovechkin gave him a who are you look and skated away. Later in the third period, though, Ovechkin had had enough. Frederick stole the puck from Ovechkin and cross-checked him, and Ovechkin aimed his stick right at Frederick's man zone. It hurts to see this, and somehow both were given penalties. Today, Ovechkin's wallet is lighter by five large.
Tony, today is one of those days where being the son of a urologist gives me so much more insight that I don't need to appreciate how awful that video was.
That's just wonderful. Let's go to the big finish. TJ McConnell of the Pacers had a triple-double. 16 points, 13 assists, 10 steals in a win over the Cavs. You impressed?
Yes, he's one of my processed children. TJ McConnell is excellent, but Mason Plumlee and Dennis Smith Jr., they both had triple-doubles for the Pistons in their win over the Raptors, Tony. So is that more impressive to you than McConnell?
No. He had 10 steals. Did they have 10 blocks or 10 steals?
No.
It's not more impressive. Steph Curry and Draymond Green did not travel to Phoenix, will not play against the Suns tonight. Wilbon is ecstatic. Are you okay with this?
I am okay with it. I am the beneficiary of an Arizona-based person calling out of work, so it'd be hypocritical for me to be otherwise. Austin Matthews, meanwhile, returned and the Maple Leafs beat the Oilers for the third straight time. Is that a big deal?
They're 13 goals for, one against, and three games with them. They appear to be the genuine article, Toronto. Last one, number 17, Oklahoma State, and number 3, Baylor tonight. Are you intrigued?
Yes, Cade Cunningham is enough to get me intrigued.
We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon is back tomorrow for a special nighttime edition of PTI, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, your SportsCenter.
Jamie Schlesinger, thank you.